Landscapers, the HBO miniseries, is over, but we are just getting started. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Sarah. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm talking to you today from the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
I am podcasting from the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples. Sarah Carradine, I'm so excited. We are talking about Landscapers, the HBO miniseries starring Olivia Colman, is how I tell my friends about what the show is.
I can't wait to see it and to discuss it with you.
Okay, we're going to have to tell the people that we've actually already seen it.
Darn it.
And we actually already have discussed it. But yes, people will hear that this week.
Yes.
Every day this week, there'll be a Landscapers podcast in your podcast feed. Hopefully you're listening on postshowrecaps.com/HBO pod. If you're not, you could be listening there. And I would highly recommend it because you can get all of your HBO content in that feed. But yeah, we are going to go on a little, you know, a mini series ride. And neither of us really knew what we were getting into before we were going to watch the show and podcast about it. Other than for me, it had Olivia Colman in it, so I wanted to watch it. And then we talked to the people at Post Show Recaps if we could cover it, and they said yes. And so what we've done is we are speaking to you from the future. We have watched all four episodes. We've podcasted about all four episodes. But now we're coming to you with a preview podcast to explain to you why we liked the show and why you should join us all week.
Are you making fantasy worlds and filming them and changing genres in front of my eyes?
Yeah, this Post-Show Recaps is now a sci-fi time traveling show that I've imagined in my head.
I'm certainly here for it. For me, it was Olivia Colman and David Thewlis. David Thewlis, if people don't know, they may know him from Big Mouth. He's the Shame Wizard.
Yeah,
but from many years ago, 1993. He first came before my eyes in a Mike Leigh film called Naked, and it was the most extraordinary, dark, twisted, malevolent, and yet vulnerable performance. I mean, he's an extraordinary actor, and I've watched many, many of his joints ever since, and this one is really David Thewlis at the height of his powers. So I was very excited to see him, as well as Olivia Colman, who I will watch do anything.
I feel like you know him from Naked. I feel like there probably are people who are young enough to be like, oh yeah, the Shame Wizard from Big Mouth. And then there's people who are like me who will be like, oh, he's Remus Lupin from Harry Potter. Oh yeah. So he's that guy. To me, that's where I feel like I know him the most from. But yeah, very talented actor. I feel like his performance in the show is so, so good. I mean, we'll get to the acting of it all. But yeah, and then Olivia Colman, who is a gem and feels like a bit of a breakout, I think, for people who are perhaps of the North American variety. Kind of for me, burst onto the scene with The Favorite and then played Queen Elizabeth in The Crown. And then I've watched everything she's done since. That's how I know her. She was in Hot Fuzz, but that's a thing where Hot Fuzz is one of my favorite movies of all time. But that's a thing where, it's a thing. Oh, amazing. That's a thing where I'll go back. If I watch Hot Fuzz, in the last year, I'm like, Olivia Colman is in this. Like, I didn't know Olivia Colman at the time, but now that I know Olivia Colman, I can watch Hot Fuzz and know who Olivia Colman is. But how did
greater
you know?
Greater good. The greater good.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman, for me, I first became aware of in Peep Show, which was David Mitchell and Robert Webb. A production, a very amusing sitcom, and she was there being hilarious because she's a fantastic comedian. So I knew her from those kind of things, and then really in Broadchurch is where we start to see her dramatic chops, which she always had. I think, I could be going out
Fleabag.
Right out on a limb
Fleabag
and
was
say
another
that,
one, right?
Yeah, Fleabag. Say that with English actors, they're less pigeonholed to dramatic or comedic or leading. Sometimes they do a leading role, and then sometimes they do a supporting role, and there's a lot more fluidity, I think. So, yes, if you haven't seen early Olivia Ouvre, I would really recommend that you go back and look, but particularly Broadchurch.
Yeah. And then so sort of the, you know, the one of the fun things about this show is that it is created by, like written, created by Ed Sinclair, who is married to one Olivia Colman.
He's Mr. Olivia Colman.
Yeah, that's right. And then all four episodes directed by Will Sharp, sort of a new name, I guess, on the scene. Been a writer for a lot of British TV in the past, but sort of had a bit of a breakout with a film called The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne. I don't know. It starred Benedict Cumberbatch and Claire Foy, another Crown connection. And so, yeah, then was given the reins to direct Ed Sinclair's take on Landscapers.
Yes, this is a young man. He's 35. And as you will hear in my past, your future, you will hear us speak quite complimentarily about him with occasional knocks. But I think he seems to me very assured. And one of the things that you will hear me say in the future, which I've said in the past, is that I always felt in very safe hands, that he had a directorial vision and a boldness to follow it through. So yeah, one to watch.
We'll get into, I think, Will Sharp and sort of the choices that he makes and why they are intriguing and why we would recommend you watch this show along with us. But I think primarily first, let's talk about what is Landscapers? What is this story? I'll say that I don't know if I assumed this or not. I did just assume that these two people were like, I thought that they were serial killers who had murdered a bunch of people and then used a landscaping business to cover up their crimes, which I think the reason I thought that is because very recently, a couple of years ago, that exact story happened in Toronto, where there was a man who was a serial killer who was using his landscaping business. And then they had to like go to all the houses he had done landscaping at. And they like found, this is very more, they like found bodies in those places. So when I was like, oh, the show is called Landscapes, like, I know exactly what this is going to be about. I was wrong. I will say there is a reveal of, there's two dead people.
I think there's dead people, and we know that almost immediately.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the thing. It is a true story. These two people, they're Susan and Christopher Edwards. They are real people. So literally the first thing you're going to see on the screen. And I think this show is just so much more than like a true crime story. So that's why I think it's okay for me to be like, this is what the story is about. They are charged and they are found guilty of murdering two people. 15 years ago before the show is set. And so that is the premise of the show. And the show is going to slowly unravel how that happened, why it happened, whether or not it actually happened. Lots of mystery to try and figure out as you go along. Mystery is maybe not the total right word, but kind of.
One of the first things we see is on screen text that says, "This is a true story." And then the true just fades away.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So like, yeah, complicated. But it is a true story. So like, you know, you could right now run to Google, as I am one to do. I love to Google things. You could Google all the information about this story. And you would know what happened in their trial. What I think my Google Home just went off. Because I said you could go to Google, so I have to. I hope it just stops talking. No, can you hear it?
I just in the background. Google, be quiet, please.
Yeah.
What you'll hear. One of the ways that we've set up this sort of delicious discussion is that we watched it one episode at a time. We watched one,
yes,
and then recorded our thoughts about it. So not only did we do no side googing at all, even though that's something that I would generally, if I was just watching something for myself, I might hop on the aforementioned search engine. Yes. None of that, and nor did we watch ahead. So you will hear our thoughts in real time. Some things we turn out to be wrong about. One thing we turn out to be exceptionally right about. Yes. And I will say that Grace incepted it into my brain in real time. You'll hear that happening as well.
But I think that the story is, you know, it's not, I don't know, it's more interesting than just, you know, whether or not these people did it. They're, you know, these people, I mean, so I'm going to explain this here. So the director, Will Sharp, uses these very interesting techniques as he tells the story, because one of the interesting things about Susan and Chris is that they are obsessed with old Hollywood, particularly Westerns. And so there is this sort of idea of who's telling the story, whose story are we seeing? Are we watching, you know, a movie version of the story? And it's unique. The way it's artistically done, there's like, you know, some avant-garde stuff. There's the camera will often switch you into old Hollywood. It will look like the film was filmed in 1942 or whatever, you know. And so they really dive deep into these two characters, Susan and Christopher Edwards, who are acted phenomenally well by Olivia Colman and David Thewlis. So I just think it's not, you know, it's more complicated to just say it's a retelling of this like real true crime event. It's really a character study of these two people and about what might have happened and what might have led them to do that. You find out at the beginning of the show that this is 15 years after these people have died. And so this is 15 years of this weighing on them, but also 15 years of them being able to potentially craft a story. And so, yeah, storytelling and movies and, you know, what roles we place on each other and ourselves, it's all in there, and it's all really interesting and fascinating. And it's really good.
These are not the only two actors in the show. Certainly another that caught our eye right from the start, and she just gets stronger and stronger as the show goes on, is a young actor called Kate O'Flynn, who plays one of the detective constables involved in the investigation. And it's a real joy to see a kind of a new, younger generation of actors coming up and going toe-to-toe with such strong, experienced actors as Coleman and Thewlis.
Deepa Ola plays Douglas Hilton in the show. I think his performance is really strong as well. The cast is rather small. We really focus in on a few people, but the acting I think is really good in the show. I think really, like, you know, the leads are the leads for a reason, but there are other actors in the show who do get to shine throughout this show.
I think the design is worth talking about. So the set costume design and the production design is very much in step with the director Will Sharp's vision, which is why I think one of the reasons that you feel that you're in safe hands and you feel that every choice is deliberate is every moment of what he is trying to express and show is completely backed up. The costume design in particular, Susan's outfits are a triumph of mediocrity and smallness in the way to show her life, for example. But each room that our characters are in is just so detailed and so thoughtful. And so I really appreciated the production design of this show as well.
There's a point in one of the episodes where the two of us finish watching the episode and we go, why the heck did they do that? Why did they make this choice? It doesn't, you know, it's confusing. It doesn't make sense.
And just the next, stupid.
It's just, yeah, I don't like it. And the next episode, they like perfectly explain why they made that choice. And to me, I think that's a good example of, like, obviously we're going to podcast where we're going to come back after each episode and need you know, want to talk about the episode and talk about things. So something that doesn't work in one episode, we might say, oh my gosh. And then the next episode they say, well, actually, here's why that was important. And we have egg on our face, unfortunately.
Yeah, delicious, delicious egg.
But I think what that serves to prove is that I was really impressed by Will Sharp and by, we do not love every decision that they make in the show. There are things to critique, but for the most part, we understood why he might have been making a directorial choice that even if we don't love it, I can see what he's trying to evoke or trying to make us think, or, you know, not even just what he's trying to make us think, he's just trying to make us think, you know, which I think is sometimes, I feel like that's what this show is. And so, yeah, I just think it's really impressive. I think that example of us being like, why'd they do that? The next episode is like, here's why I did it. Mm-hmm. It shows that, you know, they were very thoughtful about making this show.
Even the things we didn't like. Which were few.
I thought it was really fun. I would like to say, and perhaps I should have said this right up from the top, but I will give a bit of a content warning for the show itself and some of our episodes. We do talk about sexual assault is a theme in the show that does come up throughout the show, and in our podcast coverage then, like abusive relationships, family members being abusive is a theme that is played upon. So I just wanted to give that shout out that, make sure you're in the right headspace, or, you know, if you choose not to watch, it's certainly okay.
And Sarah, you have a number that folks can call if they need support in Australia.
If you're affected by
as well, but
sexual assault in Australia, you can call 1-800-RESPECT for help there.
And I'll just give the number for RAIN, a support line, sexual assault hotline, 1-800-656-4673. There are those themes in the show. And one of the things we were talking about before, Sarah, is this idea that these folks are people who we know right from the bat, right from the jump, that these are people who are convicted of murder, yet they maintain their innocence. And this story is a story told of two people who are convicted of murder, who committed a crime 15 years ago, allegedly, I guess, you know, according to the court, not allegedly. And that might be weighing on them. It is their story. It is told from their perspective almost primarily. And so I think that this show, to me, you know, the writer Ed Sinclair talked about, he had a little bit of worry about these folks, you know, are people going to empathize with them? I think absolutely. It's Olivia Colman. If I'm not going to empathize with her, then I don't know. She's done a really good job at acting, probably is what's happened. But it is this sort of morally ambiguous story that they are going to tell you. So I feel like that's not specifically a content warning, but it sort of is, I guess, at the same time. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, the two people die. That much is clear.
Absolutely, they die. Yeah. And so, there's no ambiguity about that these people are involved in some way in them dying. I don't want to maybe give more than that.
Let's not give more. Yeah. So you know, take your own temperature as to how much of that you want to take. It's mild's the wrong word. It's not horrifying, but you will sit with the effects of the abuse within the house. To watch Landscapers in Australia, it's streaming on Stan.
It is on HBO Max, I believe, in America, and Crave in Canada. Crave are kind of HBO, similar to Stan. It has lots of original content and then has a lot of HBO content. So I mean, the story, you know, it's complex. It's interesting. I think for me, the thing that kept me coming back to the show, other than that I knew I was podcasting with you about it, Sarah, was that I thought the character study of these two people, to see how they got to where they are, where we meet them at the beginning of the show, and you know, what are all the things that made them, you know, do what they've done in the past, as well as what they continue to do and who they are as people. I think it's just it's really well told. And then there are these like unique artistic choices that get made along the way that are visually appealing, sometimes odd, but mostly engaging and interesting. And so for me, the show just works. It really works. It's four episodes too. So it's, you know, yeah.
And some of them are quite short. Yes, it's as much or even more a character study, meeting these people where they are in flashbacks and flash sidewayses. We are always understanding or seeking to understand or hearing from Susan and Christopher as to who they are and what's going on with them, more so than a murder mystery, which is why we don't mind giving you just a little bit of the background.
Yeah, it's not a traditional murder mystery, I would say. So, yeah. Is there anything else we should highlight for the folks before they hopefully start watching the show and then dive in with us with weekly coverage here? Not weekly coverage, daily coverage.
Daily coverage. I would say it's not a two-screener. Watch it when you have time to really engage with the screen, engage with these performances, and with the vision of the director, Will Sharp.
I have a very important piece of advice for people who are going to watch this show. Ooh. You should watch the credits, because I watched the first episode twice, and the first time I was like, well, that's the episode. Oh, cool. And then I heard this like voiceover that was like speaking during the credits, which annoyingly, one thing I don't, the modern streaming services, they'll often like when the credits come up, it'll be like, what do you want to watch next? And so it like pops the episode up into the corner. So it did that. It was like, you want to watch the next episode? I was like, no, I don't. I need to turn it off before I see the next episode. Little did I know that the credits would actually be important, because they had put it in a little box in the corner of the screen. Come on, Crave.
Yeah. Stan doesn't do that. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't have Stan. Stan sounds great. I like that guy. Yeah. He sounds good.
Stan's okay. Stan does some good original content as well.
Yeah. So yeah, watch the credits, because they're not like super, super important, but I do think the choice they make for the credits, again, like tell you what this, what they're thinking. I think it adds to the story, in ways that not all credits do. It's an intentional choice they made to make the credits be part of the episodes. So
yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I have much else. The people should join us. We'll be here, tomorrow, with episode one recap. Sarah, before they get episode one in their feeds, is there anything else any other content that they could look up from you? Where can people find you? What are you up to?
Oh, they can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carradine, and everything I'm doing is there. How about you, Grace? You're doing one or two things, I think.
Just a few things. I'm on Twitter at @HiFromGrace. Over on Post Show Recaps, of course, I am covering Euphoria, which you can find in the HBO feed. I will soon be covering Raised by Wolves. We just finished our daily Yellow Jackets coverage. So a lot going on. Also doing weekly movie coverage. We just had a wonderful episode come out about Scream 5, where Ariel and I spoke with Phil Thompson. So that was really fun. Phil's a big movie buff, so it was fun to chat with him. Also doing some sports coverage over on Rob as a Podcast. Each week, every Monday, we'll chat about the biggest news stories of the week. Right now, the NFL playoffs are happening. The Olympics are coming up. The Australian Open is happening, Sarah. Novak, there's no problems there. Yeah, Novak's. It's not like your media has been dominated by, unfortunately, a tennis player who needs to be deported. And it can't be bigger stories than that happening in Australia.
Sorry about it.
Yeah. So that Hold Up, a podcast I do where we look back at LGBTQ media, should be returning in your feeds if you're a subscriber. Follow us on Twitter at Hold Up Podcast. So yeah, lots going on. Lots to check out. But most importantly, Every day this week, we will have a landscapers episode review in your feeds.
À tout à l'heure, mes amis.